You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hi, I'm Madigan, and you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, a podcast that explores the world through a personal feminist perspective. Here I am, popping up for air after drowning in the lava pit of hell that is Love is Blind. Oh my goodness, I love the show Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, but I would really love for them to shut the fuck up and give me a break. I'm kidding. Thank you all so much for being patient with this episode drop. I really appreciate it. I've been having to work my little behind off for all different kinds of podcasts and taking care of kids. And you know what my schedule is like. You know what's going on. So while this might not be the longest mini episode yet, I still wanted to give you all what you need, what you ask for, what you came here for. So let's get into the news of the week. But if you want even more Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, you can join me on Patreon by going to patreon.com/angryneighborhoodfeminist or clicking the link in the show notes. I want to start off with a little bit of an update about what is going on in the Hamas-Israeli conflict. Biden announced today, the day I'm recording this, on Friday, that the U.S. will carry out airdrops of humanitarian aid into Gaza in the coming days, a move that could either be in good faith or as a way to salvage ceasefire negotiations after it was reported that dozens of Palestinians were killed by Israeli forces whilst waiting in line for humanitarian aid. It's just so fucked up. Like, these are just people trying to survive. This is not, like, I'm assuming that these were not soldiers waiting in line to get some food or something. I am assuming that these are civilians who were just trying to survive and are just being blown away, literally. From President Biden and the Secretary of State and down the line, calls were made to their counterparts in capitals across the Middle East to try to keep the ceasefire negotiations that have been occurring over the last week or so alive. On Monday, before the deaths of those waiting in line for aid, Biden had said that he hoped there would be a ceasefire by, quote, next Monday, he said while making an appearance at an ice cream shop in New York City with Seth Meyers. How presidential of him. He also said, my national security advisor tells me that we're close. We're close. It's not done yet. Earlier on Monday, Hamas had backed off on some key demands during negotiations. A senior Biden administration official told CNN following a meeting in Paris between the U.S., Egypt, and Israel intelligence agencies, quote, the major obstacles have been resolved in terms of Hamas insisting on a full withdrawal of Israeli forces and end to war. But, quote, Hamas's requirements for the number of Palestinian prisoners that would have to be freed has been declined. So now, with all of that in jeopardy, Biden is desperate for a deal that would pause the violence in Gaza as he finds himself stuck between frustration with Israel's government's approach to the war and widespread pressure at home as he campaigns for re-election. Yikes. At the same time, he won't make any major shifts on his policy toward Israel, including placing conditions on military aid to Israel, as many Democrats have suggested and seems pretty obvious to me by now. It's so frustrating that, at least by appearances, it seemed like there was some headway being made in terms of at least another temporary ceasefire. But now, after more loss of life, the total now reaching about 30,035 deaths, it seems that change will not be made as easily or as quickly as we'd hoped. I just hope that the humanitarian aid that is so desperately needed in Gaza and particularly in Rafah right now as they are being targeted, I really, really hope that they are able to get what they need. I can't help but think of all of the starving children every time I feel my stomach grumbling for lunch or something, and just have a pang in my heart for how helpless so many people must feel right now. And I do really, really feel that it is our responsibility to help them, especially since we have given Israel so much support. We really now need to make it up to the people of Palestine and to the people who are living in Gaza right now. Okay, there was my relatively short update. More of those to come.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk about something that has been in the feminist news sphere all over the place, on social media and so on and so forth, and that is, what's going on in Alabama with them thinking that frozen embryos are children? Let's talk about that. Last week, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are children, allowing two wrongful death suits against a Mobile fertility clinic to continue. So in 2020, a patient at Mobile Center for Reproductive Medicine wandered into the clinic's cryogenic storage and removed several embryos. That is so fucked up. According to the lawsuit, the, quote, sub-zero temperatures at which the embryos had been store-freezed burned the patient's hand, causing the patient to drop the embryos on the floor, killing them. But the embryos weren't killed by the sub-zero temperatures, and this human being's hands were damaged? Let's think about this a little bit. The three couples who lost their frozen embryos sued for wrongful death, but the clinic claimed that the Alabama Wrongful Death of a Minor Act did not apply to embryos outside of the womb. The Mobile Circuit Court judge agreed and ruled to dismiss, but the state Supreme Court threw that decision out last week, allowing the case to move forward. Alabama Supreme Court Justice Jay Mitchell wrote that embryos are indeed protected under the state's existing law. Quote, "The central question presented in these consolidated appeals, which involved the death of embryos kept in a cryogenic nursery," he says nursery, "is whether the act contains an unwritten exception to the rule for extrauterine children, that is, unborn children." That's a new one. I don't think I hear extrauterine children very much. "Who are located outside of a biological uterus at the time they were killed. Under existing black letter law, the answer to that question is no. The Wrongful Death of a Minor Act applies to all unborn children, regardless of their location." Jesus Christ. The Supreme Court's ruling also repeatedly has references to God and the sanctity of life, and of course, they cite the Bible and biblical scholars. Chief Justice Thomas Parker wrote, quote, "Human life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God who views the destruction of his image as an affront to himself. This is true of unborn human life no less than it is of all other human life, that even before birth, all human beings bear the image of God, and their lives cannot be destroyed without effacing his glory." Well, then maybe fucking treat the people who are fully formed human beings a little bit better. Jesus Christ, if we are all the images of God and we are all perfect and God loves us all and yada, 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 then fucking show up for the living. Christ, give me a break. The lone dissenting judge, Justice Greg Cook, argued that the decision should have been a legislative one, not a judicial one. Quote, "It's not my role to judge whether ending this medical procedure is good or bad, but it doubtless will have a huge impact on many Alabamians, and it underscores the need to have the legislature, not the court, address these issues through this legislative process." This decision also puts into question the practice of IVF. Barbara Coller, the CEO of Resolve, the National Infertility Association, told the Associated Press that the decision is a terrifying development for the 1 in 6 people impacted by infertility. Fertility clinics in Alabama began to pause their IVF treatment in wake of this situation, leaving hundreds of people without access to that kind of care. Imagine just starting IVF or being in the middle of it right now, and being unsure of how you're supposed to proceed. A spokesperson on behalf of the University of Alabama, whose medical school has paused their IVF procedures, that they must, quote, "evaluate the potential that our patients and our physicians could be prosecuted criminally or face punitive damages for following the standards of IVF care were they to continue operating." There is also the concern of what is going to happen to all the rest of the frozen embryos stored in Alabama facilities. These people want to be able to make decisions for their own embryos. They do not want the court to do it for them. Thankfully, other states have noticed what is going on in Alabama and are doing their best to prevent something similar happening to them. On Tuesday, Florida lawmakers have postponed a bill that would give fetuses civil rights after what happened in Alabama. The, quote, "fetal personhood bill" has been gaining support amongst Florida's Republican lawmakers. The legislation attempts to define a fetus as an unborn child, allowing parents to collect financial damages in the case of a wrongful death. This bill has now largely stalled after Democrats argued that the legislation could affect the state's IVF treatments as well. At least 14 state legislatures total have introduced similar fetal personhood bills as of today. It's absolutely stunning to see a clump of cells receive more civil rights than many fully formed human beings. These politicians and judges do not even care about unborn children, quote unquote, as much as they care about votes. And the best way to keep their base is to keep them scared or pull at their heartstrings. And talking about embryos like they're babies is doing exactly that. And it does not reflect the American people. According to a Gallup poll in 2023, 34% of Americans believe abortion should be legal under any circumstances. 51% say it should be legal only under certain circumstances. And 13% say it should be illegal in all circumstances. So the majority of Americans believe in some level of abortion access, yet our government does not reflect this. It is also incredibly important for the Republican Party to hold on to these kinds of issues. The religious stance on abortion is incredibly important because it gives Republicans votes and it makes them money. It is also, as always, incredibly clear how much they hate women and people with uteruses, and more specifically, the poor and minority people, who are the demographics who most depend on reproductive care like abortion. It just seems so blatantly obvious to me how cruel and unusual all of this is, yet it just does not seem to be wrong to any of these people. And goddess forbid that anything terrible were to ever happen to someone in their lives where they were to need an abortion for some sort of terrible reason. How would you feel in that position? How would you feel having someone you love having to go through a forced birth, a forced pregnancy? It is cruel, cruel punishment. We are not baby machines. That is not our purpose on this planet. Yet it seems that our government, our doctors, our families, the society expects us to be a certain way. And that way is the caretaker and the baby maker. And as much as I am fucking baby crazy right now, like I want to have a baby so bad I could go on for days. That does not mean that I think that everyone should feel the same way as myself. In fact, most of my life, I have been thankful for the fact that abortion has been an option for me when I have not been in a place to be able to take care of a child. I'm so thankful that there is access to birth control and that I can be educated when it comes to sex and pregnancy and birth. And by taking all of these rights away, you are just making everything so much more dangerous. Making things taboo and illegal does not necessarily take them away. It just makes them more dangerous and more lives will be lost. It is infuriating to me. Okay, I've got to go pick up my little one in about an hour, so I'm going to edit this thing really quick. But before I go, like I mentioned at the top, if you want even more of your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, you can go to patreon.com/angryneighborhoodfeminist. There are two different levels there. Choose whichever one suits your fancy. I so much appreciate all of your support there. I also just want to remind you all that on top of Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, which I have been working for a couple of months now, I also produced another podcast a while back with my friend India Oxenberg called Still Learning, and we are kind of starting pre-production of season two right now. We're just kind of chit-chatting and figuring out what we want to do, but we definitely want to be releasing a frequently asked questions episode, and so India actually wanted me to reach out to all of you and see if any of you had any questions for her, whether it be about cults, whether it be about healing, whether it be about psychedelics, or anything that comes to your mind. And we are going to do a question and answer episode sometime coming up. So feel free to DM me those on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist or email me at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. Also, please always feel free to reach out to me if you have any topic suggestions, things that you want me to cover on Patreon, so on and so forth. It really helps me out, and I love being able to give you exactly what you want. Last but not least, if you like the show, please go over to your Apple Podcast app and leave a 5-star review with a quick sentence about why you like the show. And you can also rate the show on Spotify if you so please. All right, that's all I have for you today. With all that being said, I encourage you to rage on. Bye.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side passage?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.